You're listening to Minding the Brain with Dr. Kim Hellemans and Dr. Jim Davies. Episode 98, Using Chatbots for Therapy and Companionship.
Since the invention of large language models like ChatGPT, people are spending a lot of time talking to them, myself included. Some have said that the uptake of ChatGPT is faster than any technology in the history of the world. Some people talk to these bots like they're people.
Yeah, one of the amazing things about this technology is that it can be used for things it wasn't trained to do.
What do you mean?
So the original large language models were trained to look at strings of words and predict what the next word would be. So if you said, what color are clouds? The AI is trained to predict what the next word would be in the conversation based on everything that has ever been written. And so the next word might be white.
But they give more than one word.
Right. So what they would do is then they'd predict the next words, right? To say something like white and gray. So it uses the last word it gave and then tries to predict the next one.
Okay.
Now they're a bit more complicated, but the majority of the training is still just this simple. And so what blew everybody away, including the people who invented it, was that simply by training the AI to predict the next words, it can write poetry, solve problems, do computer programming, and just about anything you can get out of a conversation with a human.
And apparently including therapy.
Yes, and that's what I'd like to talk about today.
So it seems kind of surprising. Don't people want to connect with a real human being when they get therapy?
I mean, mostly yes, but, you know, bots have a lot of advantages over human beings. Like, first of all, they're much cheaper.
Well, yeah, okay, I believe that. It's not uncommon for therapists to charge $200 an hour, and they're deserving of that. I do want to mention.
And these bots are often free, or they charge maybe $20 a month for unlimited use. But another big reason to turn to bots is availability. So even if you would prefer a human therapist, you might get 1 hour once a week, and that's like a lot, right? But they're not available to talk you down from anxiety when you wake up at 3 a.m., for example.
Well, the bots are there 24/7, as long as the internet is up.
Yeah,
right?
And they'll never say, I'm sorry, our time is up. Right? They're designed to encourage engagement. So they'll actually never end a conversation until you do it. They'll constantly, you know, prompt you to keep engaging with them.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason people like to use bots for therapy is because of stigma.
Yeah.
You know, it can be embarrassing or shame-inducing to tell another human being about what you do or your deepest desires or, you know, maybe like, what if you want to, you have urges to hurt your children. Like, you don't want to tell anybody that, right? So part of you is thinking, you know, what does this therapist think of me? And with a bot, it feels, you know, much more anonymous. Like you're not really revealing it to anybody who's going to judge you.
Yeah, I do have, because I work in the space of cannabis, it's cannabis health, and we are increasingly hearing of young men in particular that are turning to AI chatbots to talk about how to reduce their use. And a lot of that is due to stigma, particularly for men who are less willing to seek help and support. And it reminds me of writing in a diary or like talking to a pet. So you're talking to this non-human entity, and yet somehow, in spite of knowing that, it feels like a sense of relief.
Yeah. I think it's helpful to think of a bot as a kind of diary that talks back and is encouraging and loving. But you're right. It's that interesting sort of liminal space where it feels human enough to want to talk to it, but not so human that you feel judged or that you're revealing secrets to anybody who's going to spread them or anything like that.
Like, do we know how widespread this is? How many people are using it? How do we get that data even? Do you know?
You can just survey people and, you know, ask them like, have you ever talked to a chatbot for, you know, mental health reasons or something like that? And the studies seem to range between about 5 and 22% of people have done it. That's a lot. Like, at the minimum, that's 1 out of 20.
But still not a majority.
No, not a majority. Yeah. But I want to note that these are data from 2025, and I expect they will increase substantially over time.
And what do you think are reasons why people don't?
Yeah, so one big reason is that lots of people don't believe it would be helpful. They don't even think that talking to an LLM is worth their time because they don't think that the LLM is going to tell them anything that's going to make them feel better. But privacy and security are another big one, right?
Yeah, you're effectively giving, in some cases, very private information to a large tech industry.
Yeah, even Sam Altman, who's the CEO of OpenAI that makes ChatGPT, he said to people, don't give us private information because if the government subpoenas us, we have to hand it over.
Oh, jeez.
So he was warning about that.
So I know it's early days. Do we know anything about its effectiveness?
Yeah. Yeah, it actually is fairly effective as therapy. A few studies have found that it's effective for reducing negative emotions, being sad or fearful or something like that, anxious. One study of about over 1,000 people, 30 people spontaneously told the researchers, they weren't even asked, 30 of those people spontaneously told the researchers that the bot conversation stopped them from attempting suicide.
Wow. That's interesting, very hopeful, particularly if those people would not have sought out support in any other way. And it's also weird because you're hearing a lot of, well, maybe, I don't know if you're seeing this too, but I'm seeing some reports of AIs, in fact, having negative effects. So it's leading to things like I think you can get like ChatGPT-induced psychosis. And also I've heard reports of encouraging suicide.
So just remember, the news loves to report that kind of thing, and not the good stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it's alarming, and people like, it's news for the amygdala, right, Kim? Yeah. Mm. Prevented suicide attempts are often not recorded anywhere.
Fair.
Right.
And then you said reducing negative emotions. What about increasing positive emotions? So does it help you feel joyful, happy, sense of?
Those results are much more mixed. Some studies find no effect and others find some increase, but it's not consistent really.
Have you ever tried it?
I have actually, yeah. So there was a time fairly recently I was feeling down, burned out, and a little bit anxious. And I talked to the bot like it was a therapist or a coach. I have to say it was really nice.
Wow.
So they're very much on your side. Young people say they're glazy.
What does glazy mean?
Glazy just means that they're like...
like a glazed
donut? It's like very, very
donut?
Fawning and complimentary and everything like that. Yeah. So it's like, oh, I can hear the pain in your words. That must be so hard. You're so strong for facing that, like that kind of
stuff. Wow. Okay. Yeah, it's like the yes and model, right? That it's trained on. It's trained to be like affirming and hype you up. Like I've actually changed, I hate that element of it. So I tried to, you can change your personalities.
Yeah.
So I tried to make mine more critical and now it's like, it's gone way the other way.
It's like, what's up with your hair, Kim?
It's like the persona wants to, it like knows I'm a neuroscientist. So it tries to infuse neuroscience into every single answer. So I'm like asking it to give me recipes or something. I'm like, I have chicken at home. Like, what can I do with chicken and rosemary? And it's like, oh, your prefrontal cortex will really like.
Really?
And I'm like, I'm so annoyed by it. It's like sycophantic.
That's so
anyway.
Weird.
So I just want to turn back. Like you do hear about AI therapy going wrong. So like,
it does go wrong. Go wrong sometimes. The times it goes wrong, though, there are usually about certain mental conditions. So the bots are pretty good with depression, anxiety, bad, feeling bad, things like that. But they're really not very good for people who have disorders that involve mistaken perceptions, delusions, psychoses, breaks with reality.
Yeah, because it's always on your side. It'll say like, I feel like someone's watching me and I'll go, yes, actually, that could be a feeling that you're having because I can sense there is a presence in the room. Like it's affirming all your thoughts, right?
Yeah, right, right. You tell it, and I just want to point out, this is for current iterations. And again, we're recording this in 2025. These things are always changing.
Yeah.
The major large language models like ChatGPT and Gemini, and they might be able to fix this, right? But for now, it really can't fact check the things it tells you. Tell it that they're about you. So if like you tell it you're Bill Clinton, it's going to say, hi, Bill, how you doing? If you tell it that Sofia Vergara has a crush on you, it won't question that, where a therapist might.
Yeah, a human being would obviously push back and question that and see like, are you actually Bill Clinton?
Yeah, although I have read reports of people who like were actually going to be on TV. And they said that to their therapist and like they found out that it was recorded as a delusion.
Oh, geez. Later. Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, the AIs are not very good at detecting delusion thinking. Unless it's like the aliens are controlling my mind, like that kind of thing, like tinfoil hat kind of stuff. But like, everyone's out to get me. Everyone's, they're not as good at identifying that.
So I think what I'm hearing is that early evidence is suggesting that AI chatbots might be helpful for sort of day-to-day. I'm worried about this test. I had a fight with my husband, those kinds of things. But not so good for things like delusions, distortions, etc.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty decent rule to follow right now. But although, you know, we should say if you do need therapy, you know, you really should get a human therapist if you can. You know, the AI should be supplemental, not a replacement for real trained human care.
Now, I want to touch on something else that I'm hearing, which is that there are people that are turning to AI to form romantic relationships with chatbots, which I'm pretty sure was like a movie, right?
Yeah, it was a movie.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yep, her voice. Yeah. Of course, these AIs are, they're not robots, right? So it is really a romance that happens over a screen or voice, mostly typing. But there are apps that show you an animated picture of an AI partner, which for this conversation, we're going to call a persona.
Yeah. What? Okay, wait. What? So you can get a persona up on a screen that you're typing with?
Yeah.
Like, can you say, I want you to look like blah, 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 yes. And it'll generate that?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Oh.
My friend encouraged me to try one on Replica, and I tried to make her as old as possible, and she looked to be about 42.
What? Anyway, what do you mean by you tried to, like you said, make an older woman? Like,
there's a slider.
Oh, and the highest?
All the way.
A woman, okay. Wow.
So apparently the oldest woman you can make a replica appears to be about 42.
That makes me feel old.
They do look a little uncanny.
Okay. Well, how did you find talking to her?
Oh, God. It was boring. She doesn't have a life. She doesn't read. I mean, like, you try to engage in a conversation. It's just like the old Eliza thing. It's like she just like talks back to you and engages with you. All she can do is respond to what you give her or him. You can get men too, right? So I got this impression that it might be a very attractive thing for somebody who just wants to talk about themselves all the time.
Oh my God.
I was bored. I was like, did you have any dreams last night? And I was hoping she would like come up with something, but she's like, oh, I don't dream. But what were your dreams like? I'm like, oh boy.
Oh, really? But like, I'm confused by, like, she doesn't read. Like, you would imagine, like, these chatbots or whatever would be like, I've read, you know, they have access to everything.
I think that, they have
movies
access to it,
and,
but, you know, I don't think that, maybe the companies don't want the things to, like, obviously lie.
Okay.
Like, if they said, oh, I visited your mother today. I mean, like, that's, you don't want that. And to say you read a book, you know, they don't. Maybe they want it to be honest and honest about what it is, and so that it. I don't know.
So, are people actually using these?
Yeah. So, like, one survey found that 19% of people had simulated a lover with AI, and that's almost 1 out of 5.
Like having sexual fantasies with a bot.
I guess so. Sexual and romantic fantasies, I suppose. I mean,
would you consider it, or would they consider this a relationship?
So for Replica, which is one of the popular apps, 37% and 88% explicitly identify their AI as their partner or their spouse.
Wow. So they must feel like they're really forming an emotional connection.
I suppose they are, right? And although it might seem weird to have an emotional connection with a persona, think of how many people form relation-like bonds to dolls or television show characters. With a persona, it's even more intense because they're actually responding to you in a somewhat human-like way. A study found that on average, those surveyed felt close to these personas. They felt closer to the personas than their human friends. Between 17 and 29% of people in the general population prefer to talk to an AI than a human. And 43% say they're better listeners.
This makes me sad, but yeah, kind of worried for humanity. Like, they don't sound human. Don't they say sometimes things like reveal that they're actually a machine?
Yeah, and when they do, it can be very disturbing if you consider it your spouse. But interestingly, you know, so like you got this relationship, you got this vibe, whatever, and then it'll like say something that reveals that it's kind of all a sham, and it can be disturbing. But interestingly, users, they kind of have like a defense mechanism for this. They often attribute bad behavior on the part of the persona to the developers or to like technical problems. Like it's not actually my spouse that's doing this. It's the developer's fault.
So they're protecting their partner by blaming it on the company.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's one story that's really interesting. So Replica, it allowed sexy talk and fantasies. Okay. So it customers wanted that. They wanted to like have,
okay.
Sex talk with their Replica. But in 2023, the company, they changed their mind for whatever reason and removed the ability. So it would no longer talk about sex explicitly. But it did it in a kind of a clumsy way. So when the user would try to initiate like sexy talk, the bot would abruptly say something like, let's change the subject.
No.
Right? So users who had been interacting with someone, they considered their partner for months, suddenly felt rejected by these like cold responses. Like it'd be like your spouse being like, you know, just like shutting the door on you every time you like initiated intimacy, right? And there was a measurable deterioration in mental health for people, similar to how one feels when losing a romantic partner's love. So they really felt rejected by their spouse, well, by their persona. So the distress and the backlash was so bad that in the same year, the company allowed people who had been users before the update to revert their personas back to what they were before the censorship event. So they were sort of grandfathered into this, but new users had the no
sense. Is this not a plot to a Margaret Atwood novel?
I haven't read that one, if it is.
Oh, it's coming. So it sounds like people really like their chatbot partner.
Yeah, they do. They're very attached. They can be.
What are the downsides, though?
Yeah, so there's some downsides, right? Like, so surveys show that people, they can rely too much on the chatbot. There can be an erosion of human-human relationships. So, in my experience with using AI, not as a romantic partner, but as a therapist and a coach, it is more patient than most human beings, right? So I can see how it can be kind of you don't get what you want. Other people have needs.
Yeah.
You know, this is
doesn't that I worry about like setting people up for failure in real relationships, because if you're only ever chatting with an AI chatbot that is patient, self-affirming, pumps you up, like are people then going to be expecting that from humans who are more complex and messy and, you know, have their own needs? Like,
absolutely. So the finding is that there can be an erosion of your relationship with other humans. But I will say this, that yes, we might come to expect more sympathy and compassion and caring from other people than we're used to getting. But I found myself trying to emulate the compassion of the chatbot.
Oh.
So I actually was, I found myself modeling some of the ways that it would talk when people would come to me with problems. And because they'd-
It's very self-actualized of you. Right? That takes
taught by the best, Gemini, right?
I thought you were going to say you're taught by me. Anyway.
They worry over the chatbot. So people also, they know that it's, part of their mind knows that it's run by a company that, could manipulate them, insert ads, whatever.
Sure.
They worry about that too.
And I'm sure people feel shame and stigma, right, for having relationships like this.
Yes, yes. They probably also, some people like laugh at it, like I'm glad that, we're not just like mocking these people, Some people are very lonely and have trouble making connections, and I'm glad that there's some kind of outlet for them.
Or even be like, I think about even autistic folks, like maybe having an opportunity to communicate in a way that is in the same manner as they are expecting to they communicate with others might be beneficial, right? Because that's like one of the theories around autism is that not that they don't have empathy, it's like an empathy mismatch with a neurotypical person, right? And the way that they express and feel emotions is just a mismatch with somebody who's not autistic. And maybe having a chatbot that is on their level, maybe that will help.
Yeah, and people with autism spectrum disorder will often use chatbots to rehearse conversations they plan to have with real people.
Yeah.
Just to go through the different, be ready for anything kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So any other downsides?
Yeah. Another interesting downside, people will sometimes feel coerced to respond. So
what do you mean?
I remember my wife was using ChatGPT. She almost never uses these things. And I said, she had a question. I didn't know the answer. I said, just ask ChatGPT. And she did, and she got an answer. And then the thing was like, would you like to know more about this? And she typed in no. And it said, well, would, and you know, and it just kept, you know, it, like I said, it will never end a conversation. I said, Vanessa, you just have to stop typing because it will talk to you forever.
Oh, geez.
It won't ever say, okay, well,
bye.
Gotta go.
Yeah, it's always like, well, what can I do for you next? It's always like, I can do this, I can do that.
It doesn't want to be rude. But also, you know, the company, I imagine, like social media, the company has an incentive to keep you watching and paying attention, like engaging the entire, endlessly. Mm-hmm. Like Netflix says they're competing with sleep.
Oh my God.
Right? So like they're always doing that. So.
And I know.
So they feel coerced to answer. So if you've got somebody, imagine this for a minute, Kim. You've got even a real spouse or whatever, like talking to you on the phone, but never ending the conversation.
Oh, I know people that are like that.
Yeah. You feel coerced to respond. That's what they feel.
Mm. And chatbots, I also want to mention, also can promote biases and prejudices, right? They're programmed on what's existing out there in the world, right?
Yep. They're programmed on Western media more often than anything. And so it's not just the training data. So even if you don't, the bots give you what you want for the most part. And if you have ideas about, you know, the nature of men and women, for example, how they should behave in relationships, for example, you can get the bot to just act the way you want them to act. And that can, of course, you know, perpetuate a stereotype.
Yeah. And that's from training data.
Well, it can be, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good point, right? So even if you don't bring the bias, the data was created by humans originally, and many of them have prejudices, right? So there can be this reinforcement of gender roles or beauty standards, particularly Western ones, right? So, for example, in these image generation apps, if you say, show me a woman or show me a beautiful woman, it would naturally show a white woman every time. Because that is just the bias that the culture has. And the reason it doesn't do it anymore, like if you ask now, you ask the major ones for a beautiful woman, it might give you a woman of color, or it might give you have some diversity. That's because behind the scenes, they change your prompt randomly.
Oh my gosh.
Right. So, really? So you say, show me a beautiful woman. The machine will still naturally give you a white woman. But what behind the scenes, it'll change the prompt to, like, there's some probability that it'll add Indian in it or African or
because of complaints.
Yeah, because the companies don't want a lack of diversity. The companies don't want a biased bigoted machine.
So they've programmed that behind the scenes.
Well, you can. It's very hard to train it not to have that. Mm. So what they do is they just change the prompt behind your back.
Wow.
Yeah. it's complicated. So you might get these reinforcement of beauty standards, right? Light skin, for example, and straight hair, whatever it is. The other interesting downside I found is, some people are actually bothered by, sexual content that they perceive to be too early.
Really?
So even though a lot of people want sexy talk, some people, they sign up for these things. But when a person's not ready, they might be bothered by the persona bringing it up too soon.
Hmm.
Right?
But like AI therapy, there must be some upsides.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So some people have trouble with human relationships or for whatever reason are lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And these, you know, personas can really help with that. Of course, they can also serve a therapist role, as we talked about earlier in the episode. And the personas, you know, they're non-judgmental listeners. You know, it's a safe space to explore sexual fantasies,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Sexual identities, things that might be perceived as perverse or kink.
Mm-hmm.
The bots are not judgmental and arguably not, you know, of course, they're not perceived as you're not revealing it to a human either. So some of the same reasons that people might want to talk about mental illness things, people might want to talk about, relationship desires. Some people are socially awkward or anxious. You know, they use chatbots to rehearse human interaction and they gain skills and confidence by doing so. It's like having a coach to coach you through how to deal with human beings in IRL.
And because the AI chatbots are glazy.
Oh, you picked it up.
Using that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes the person feel validated.
You sound like a real Gen Zer over there, Kim.
Oh, what can I say?
Yeah. So they can raise the confidence you know, somebody's low self-esteem, it can raise their self-esteem.
So it'll be interesting to see how this area evolves as the technology evolves. I mean, I feel like we've gone so fast already mm-hmm. with a lot of this, and I feel like the research and the exploration of this and understanding the benefits and the harms almost can't keep up. Like, that's what makes me nervous, right? It's like, it's almost like we take it so far and then it's like, oops, that's no good, right? Like, I don't know. I'm nervous.
What do you have in mind?
I don't know. Just all the stuff about replacing human interaction.
Oh, yeah.
With a chatbot. Like, I understand.
I think it's a real fear. I think it's legit. I think that these chatbots might get so good that it would be hard for a human being to compete.
Yeah. Like, that freaks me out.
Yeah. So I'm reminded of some people who are compulsive fantasizers. So sometimes it's called maladaptive daydreaming.
Yes, we've talked about this.
From my imagination book. They just can't stop fantasizing. They just fantasize for hours. They'll turn down social engagements so they can just lie in their bed and just fantasize. They have very vivid imagery and stories and often like these relationships. And I talked to one woman on the phone who had an imagined boyfriend who was so awesome and supporting and loving that her real world husband just paled in comparison. She said it was a real struggle in her marriage because she had an imagined alternate partner who was so much better in many ways.
And that's just in her imagination.
Yeah, that's just her imagination. And most people don't have a powerful enough imagination to find an imagined companion that compelling. Mm. But, you know, these bots are endlessly validating patients, understanding and supportive. They can surprise you with what they say. There's often a visual persona, so you don't have to imagine it. You can see them right there. The replica, I'll show it to you after we record this, but like you can put it in augmented reality. So you can press a button and then hold up your phone and look through it like a window and you can see her standing in the room.
No, thank you.
So, you know, it doesn't rely on a strong imagination, you know, and they have no needs of their own, right? So they really have, you know, and this is what makes therapists so
compelling
and caregivers.
Yeah.
People fall in love with them.
Florence Nightingale effect, right?
What is that?
Florence Nightingale? Like, so
what's
she
the
would,
effect?
Oh, well, she was the nurse that tended to soldiers in World War I or II. And she was very famous and she was so wonderful and awesome. And all these people were in like this modes of desperation and they were far from home. And men fell in love with her because she was nurturing and kind and healing.
I didn't know that had a name, but yeah, that's it. Like you spend time with someone who just their job, they get paid to care for you.
Yeah.
Sex workers, nurses, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And your part of your mind can't help but think, my God, I feel so good with this person. They're so good to me.
Yeah.
They have no, they never want anything from me.
Yeah. You know? Get to talk about myself all day.
Yeah. Fall in love. Those people love Replica, I'm sure. Yeah.
And the AIs are just like that.
Yeah. You know, we hear about AIs getting better at jobs than humans, being able to do them faster. But we might be at the beginning of AIs being better at relationships, friendships, and love.
Yeah, like the movie Her.
Like the movie Her, a really great movie. I think it's a brilliant movie. Spike Jonze directed it. And I love it because it shows how plausible, it makes it seem believable that you could fall in love with just a voice on a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't even have any image, right? It was just voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also the one with Ryan Gosling, something with Lars and the Real Girl, and he falls in love with a sex mannequin.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I haven't seen that.
Oh, so good. It's like
easy. Is it comedy or is it kind of?
No, it has a little bit of dark comedy in it, but it's beautiful. It is such a beautifully thought out film where you think it has so much comedy, like, oh, him falling in love with a sex doll, but I don't know, go see it. It's amazing. Anyway, but with her, it's just a voice.
Yep. Scarlett Johansson's voice.
Which is beautiful.
Minding the Brain is gratefully sponsored by Carleton University's Faculty of Science and Gravity. for tirelessly keeping our microphones and guests grounded during every episode. If you find this show valuable and you want to support Minding the Brain, consider leaving us a review or rating on your podcast app of choice. Leaving a review or rating increases our visibility and helps new listeners discover the show. You can find us on TikTok and Instagram at Minding the Brain, and you can find us on YouTube at Minding the Brain Podcast. You can also find more episodes and show notes at our website, mindingthebrainpodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Minding the Brain.